At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binchtown TV. We are back with a brand new show to the pod, Amazon Prime's The Wilds. We'll be discussing season two, which will have dropped May 6th, but we're lucky enough to get screeners beforehand, so we're recording this week. Today, we've got Brian, Paul, and myself, and some very special return guests from Pitchtown TV fame, Emma, who pitched Manifest, and Alex, who pitched True Blood. Now, anyone joining us who hasn't seen any of The Wilds, we appreciate you being here, but also leave because spoilers are starting right now. But before we jump into season two, we wanted to do some sort of like season one recap, but the timing just didn't work out and we needed to jump into season two ASAP since we had these screeners. So I'm going to throw it to Paul because we collective, I'm pointing to Brian, Emma and Alex, have seen it a couple months ago, whatever. Paul just binged it this week to be on the pod. So he's the freshest.
Yeah, I crushed episode or season one and then three episodes of season two in about, you know, a little over 48 hours. So I feel like I'm on the island still.
Absolutely love to see that.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was phenomenal. It's been on our list forever. And I'll try my best since, you know, I got those fresh eyes to recap season one. Shark bite at the end, obviously.
Shark bite at the end.
I'm starting at the end. I'm thinking backwards here. And then obviously,
we open at the close.
Okay. I will say, starting out this show, I knew kind of the premise. It gives you the premise right away. The island happens, but you know, you see them in the future. They're being interviewed. It's a really cool way to tell a story, but I think they nailed it.
Oh, I didn't think that's where that came from.
But they crushed it because there's something about giving us bits and pieces at the end, but showing to us in the beginning. It reminds me a lot of Hill House.
Yeah.
The way like Hill House was told.
Sure.
And that was just phenomenal. So,
chef's
and do this really great thing of, you know, kind of throwing your curveball out of nowhere. Like I said, I texted in the chat, dude, like Shelby and
Tony
came out of nowhere.
Shoney
is just like the best thing ever. And I'm so happy it happened.
Yeah. The Shoney stands are fed this season so far. Three episodes in, they're getting just pure love from Shoney.
Oh, man, it's a great time to be a Shoney fan.
It really
also
is.
I have to say, because I also just recently watched the first five episodes of the first season, and they did a lot of foreshadowing. Like right in the beginning of the first episode, you could even kind of see Shoney. Like in Tony's episode, whenever they would flash back from her girlfriend, the first person they would show is Shelby.
Love that.
So it was like, you know, foreshadowing. A little bit.
It was the only reason I watched the show. I didn't even hear of it. We talk a lot about how like Amazon Prime doesn't really pump their shows up that much. Like they're getting better at it for sure. And with like Wheel of Time, The Boys and stuff. But beforehand, Amazon Prime shows, they didn't do the best advertising for themselves. So The Wilds, my gay Twitter was just popping the fuck off. I saw the Shoney kiss in episode 8 before I saw anything. And I was just like, play, and stayed up all night to get to it.
Wow.
But
I can't believe that was ruined for you.
I was happy it was.
It sold her on the show.
If it gets you into it, I mean, that's good. But at the same time, I was like, what? This is sick. I love them so much. And I will say real quick, Brian, before I get to you, Rachel, man, was on my list forever. In the beginning, it was so hard to like her. But, oh, my God, in the beginning of season two, everybody's a family. It's great. I love it. I love all the girls now. I don't have, like, one that I don't like.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, that was going to be my question for everybody.
I don't know. I love Dot. I fucking love Dot.
Yeah, me too.
Her episode was incredible. She's keeping all the girls safe with their survival and medical. Honestly, that stuff's coming out of nowhere. So
Yeah, I mean, watching her like basically heal Rachel's arm, she's the MVP. Like she's you can't
the Carterizing of it all.
Woman.
Yeah, truly. Truly. Mine's Patton. She's just the comic relief. I mean, I love everybody. I think that they really probably were like, Tony was a little harsh in season one because now she's sweet like sugar in this season. I mean, like love does that to you. But it's also they kind of took some of the heat off of Tony and now gave it to Marty. I think Marty's being a little diva-ish this season, I think. For reasons I
well, we still haven't seen her in the
her and Nora, but obviously we've
seen. That was one of my big questions for you guys. Do you think Marty is gonna be alive at the end of the island?
I think she kills herself. That's my prediction.
We saw the suicide warning that began episode one, wasn't it?
That was because Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm. We thought it was about Martha because they showed it to you at the beginning of the episode, and we kind of both agreed. We were like, who's committing suicide?
I thought it was Leah,
but I guess
it was about Leah for the overdose, but I wouldn't be surprised, knowing them, if it was like a suicide warning.
It was a fake out.
Yeah,
well, I would just be heartbroken.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, I hope that's not the case, but obviously we know something happened.
I think the rationale was that like Martha would be jealous of Shoni, but she seemed pretty accepting pretty quick of that.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think they got past that pretty well.
I think that Martha was probably one annoyed that Tony was being such a monster in the beginning about Shelby.
She gave her so much shit.
And now it's like okay, now you get to just like there's Martha, Marty, whatever you want to call her, was super cool with Tony with every girlfriend she's ever had. She doesn't care. It's just that I think that it was Shelby is like annoying that Tony didn't tell her and is whatever. But
especially given the first season when she was so mean to Shelby.
Yeah. And they're
after
best
Shelby
friends.
Was so nice to Martha.
Before we leave season one territory, well, one, to confirm, we hadn't seen Marty's
and
Nora stories, right? I want to know, especially Paul just watching, like, who did you think were the narcs first?
Yeah.
Like, I thought Dot for a while.
It they just, make it seem like that, Dot.
They really lead you down that path. But what did you think?
So the only reason I didn't think it was Dot was because they already had her interview at like the third episode. So I figured it wouldn't be somebody that they're trying to interview. So for a long time, though, I thought it was Marty. I didn't have any reasoning behind it because they even said like it's an older person looking after. Obviously, Marty's like the youngest, most innocent. So I don't know where that thought came from. And yeah, I did kind of think it was Nora a little bit. I didn't have anything confirmed, it just because she was smart and knew how to survive. And that's basically what I was at. But I wasn't like dead set on anybody. So when it was revealed that it was Nora talking to the tree, I was kind of like, wow, how could you do this to us?
So the Dot red herring is because Dot actually meets with Gretchen in her episode, and that's why I think it's a red herring. Other than that, you wouldn't think it's Dot.
I also just thought she just knew it so well. It's like, why wouldn't you plant someone who could like at least make sure they don't die, or as best you can, you know what I mean? I think that was my thinking too. She just like knew so much about,
she's so knowledgeable.
Yeah,
she's the best. Her being like, I'm not good at leisure and like taking inventory is my favorite. She's so sweet.
Also, her in the second season enjoying the leisure.
Yeah.
And going and reading this book on the beach and like getting into it.
Yeah.
I lived for that.
It was great.
But going back to who's my favorite, I agree with you. I think it's Fatten.
Yeah.
And now that we're on season two, I think she's always been one of the more adult of the group, just because I think she kind of had more life experiences. Like, they're very much just kind of childlike, even though they all have their baggage, but like Fatten always kind of seemed to be like a little bit more adult. And now, like, when she was doing the sign out shit in episode two or three, like, she's taking this motherly role and she's like, damn it, I just care about you guys now.
I'm losing it's my good, streak.
Grit. It's good to see her side, that side of her. I loved her relationship with Leah too, because they were the pair, of course. And like, when she kind of got in her face, like, are you kidding me? Rachel's hanging on by a thread here and you're just gonna like take your bullshit elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she got in her face, which like someone had to. Oh, I love me some Leah though. She's crazy. But like the thing is, at the end of the day,
crazy
she is right. She was completely onto Nora.
She's the gaslit queen.
She has like crazy eyes. It's awesome. It's like the Swarly episode, yeah. Dude. She's like,
she has this really good ability to just stare and look like completely lost and have like insane thoughts going.
But also look like insane. Like her eyes just go like.
Yeah. So Leah is pretty much the main character, I would say. She's the first episode of season one, and she's the one who's catching on to everything in season one. As I would say, Raph is the main boy character.
Raph.
Sorry. Raph. God, that was almost
at
perfect.
Least he didn't say Rafe.
I was actually saying, I was like, it's kind of hard not to say Raph. For all my Jane the Virgin fans out there, Raph, come on. Where you at?
That's like our first mention of the boys.
What?
Yeah. Raph? Yeah, no, we've just been talking about the girls boys. Group. No,
I was like,
yeah,
no, Rafe is the magician. Rafe is from the magician.
Common confusion. Yeah, no, Rob, that's like the first time we brought up the boys group, which is a new entrance.
That, I actually think that there are a lot of parallels between the boys and the girls. Yeah. And I was telling Brian how I think that it's intentional because if you're doing research, they have to be even playing field.
Yep.
So my first opinion on who the mole is, just based off of the first couple episodes.
Let's say it on three. Everyone on three.
Wait, hold on.
You love doing
Wait, this. I need to relook what I thought.
Who's the narc that's obviously not the son? He was on screen, I was like, he's the narc. And then he ended up being the narc like 2 seconds later. Wasn't that good of a call. But I have my second narc, who I think is.
Same. Three, two, one.
Glasses.
Seth. You're saying
Seth. Seth. I think Seth, too. Who'd you say?
The nerdy kid.
Josh. Oh my God. Is he from TikTok?
Wait, the nerdy kid.
Like the dude who has all the creams and ointments?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that I'm with Brian. That's Josh, right?
I'm with Josh.
Because he had the light. This could be a red herring. Everything's a red herring. But like when they found the lighter in his bag, that was some sussy mole type stuff. Like he knew he had that in the back pocket in an emergency, but he clearly withheld it. Oh, forgot to tell you about
the
lighter.
You could say this, like Seth is a brother and Nora was a sister.
I thought about that.
So like if we're following this, right. I mean, it just depends because it's like, if like you're doing actual research, shouldn't it be as similar as possible? Technically.
I loved the line where the people working on it were like, The variables may change, but the danger was equal per island. He basically, which I loved.
Which they were saying.
He said he got that quote from Gretchen. Yeah. Do you believe that Gretchen? No. Absolutely.
For sure.
What a horrible researcher she is.
Yeah.
Gretchen.
I do want to talk about like her hypothesis in general. I mean, I think that's very important. It's just that women should rule the world. And that if women ruled the world, basically there wouldn't be like impending doom and war. That's like what she wants. So of course she's going to stack it. She wants the boys to fail.
She called it.
And they were a true failure.
They were flopping. That's what
they were flopping hard.
We don't know yet.
Yeah. No, we don't know how they failed,
know the design of the whole experiment because she said the girls lasted a full 50 days. Did they like yank them out? Did the boys face utter decimation in 34? Like she might have. That doesn't seem so significant a difference between survival. It's not like they built a flourishing colony and lasted indefinitely. It's like a 34 first 50, like the girls killed it.
That's why I never. All right, I'll just get like into like the whole of Gretchen's big plan is like her gynecopia. That's what she called it, I think, in season one.
Oh, yeah.
which like that's a really cool idea and really funny. But like, how are you supposed to collect all this data and make a perfect decision off of just basically two trials? Like she called the boys in the beginning of season or episode one and season two, like the control. But like how is that a control group? And there's like compared to the control because men rule the world now, like
maybe
or there's a third group.
That was my other
co-ed group. That's what. Yeah, that's what my next
a non-binary group.
That would be
okay. I'll take that.
Queer people dominating.
Yeah.
Season three.
Honestly, I was hoping that it was just going to be like a bunch of these like eight people on the island all at once. A bunch of different groups of eight girls, a bunch of different groups and eight guys. And it's not just these 16 that we're seeing. I hope it's like, you know, 100 and something. Because then I could get behind Gretchen and be like, all right, now these numbers mean something.
I'm not sure how mass producible these situations are. I feel like she probably had to break a lot of rules to get 16.
Yeah, I don't believe the plot of the show. but it's one of the hangups that, like, the rest of the show is really good, but I just, like, don't understand how she thinks that they're going to be able to receive enough, like, data to back up.
Maybe it's just like her. I think she just wants to, like, prove her thesis,
like, get the rock start, rolling,
yeah, and then get more investment or buy-in to explore that, right? Okay. Like, and
I like that a lot, actually. That's, you know what I mean? That's a really, like, good explanation.
She was a professor. You'd have to think she knows it's not enough data to have a firm conclusion, but not that I'm agreeing with any of what Gretchen's doing. Do not condone it. But ruining kids' lives. She's a psychopath. I loved what her son said about her.
Yeah,
she can't wait to see his backstory, because I feel like we're going to get, like, Gretchen and his upbringing.
I'm glad they brought him in. Should we,
and
like...
He said he, like, killed someone, too, right?
Well, he killed partner, Nora's... He killed Nora's ex-boyfriend from season one.
Gretchen,
right,
yeah.
At the frat party.
That's where Gretchen bumped into her. Yeah. But
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, that was like a
noob to her son.
That narc,
you'll get there.
That's why it was so good.
Which one was Nora's episode? Season one,
six or seven.
Yeah, we've been cutting each other off. Let's take a beat.
Nora was at 7 or 8, I believe.
Nora was one of the last ones.
Yeah, wait, it might have been freaking 9. I don't think about it. Freaking 10. I don't know. But what I was gonna say is something that I can't remember.
Okay, I'm going to take us back to where we ended so then we could kick off episode one.
Thank God.
Cool. Okay, so we left off the season one with a bang. Leah, again, queen of being gaslit to death, is losing it both on the island and in the quote unquote jail. Both. Okay. On the island, Nora traps her in a fucking ditch, and then they filled it in 5 minutes because Nora disappears in the water trying to save Rachel. And then Leah immediately goes to try and find the ditch, and it's filled up with fat, and Fenton's like, girl, please stop it.
Yeah.
That's how we open anyway. So yeah, Nora drowns. We open with that. Nora drowns, which is allegedly.
Yeah.
Fully allegedly. No way a submarine wasn't down there saving her.
Right? Scuba divers with tanks just ready to give her an oxygen. Seems
like a submarine came in.
She would have washed up.
Ryan thought scuba divers.
Yeah, totally.
Fully.
She definitely would have washed up. Floating.
Trained walruses, dude. She could have gotten out of there any number of ways.
She rode that dolphin.
Fully.
She better be alive. I love Nora.
I know.
Well, I also, they didn't show her die, so like
101. TV 101.
There's definitely some kind of twist there.
Okay, so let me bring a little like outside knowledge that was super fucking weird. So I don't know this for a fact, but it seems like as the actress, she was kind of on the outskirts of the group. She was never really, there was a little bit of drama. She posted, when everyone was posting trailers, the boys and the girls, maybe a bunch of months back, maybe even last summer or something like that, they were doing teasers like, we're about to start like filming season two. Everyone was pumped. Everyone was like in COVID on their like cell phones making videos. Nora literally posted it and was like, I was not invited to this. Maybe it's a stunt. Who's to say?
Right.
It could be, but Nora's actress posted it and was like, I was not invited to be in this. And I was like,
damn.
So the other thing is that she does not have credits for the season.
Yeah.
She's only in 10 episodes.
Right. So who knows about Nora, but it would be sick if she was actually alive. And we'll get into it because I feel like we're missing such a story for Nora to explain, and a Rachel Nora, of Leah Nora, like scenes. We're missing like such deep, good, whatever. We haven't seen Gretchen mourn Nora at all, which seems crazy because she was like devastated about Jeanette. She had a relationship with Nora more than anyone else besides Jeanette. Her name was Jeanette, right? I'm not making that up. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not in real life, just on the island. She was Jeanette, I think. But anyway, Nora and her were like, met at the jail, we're getting breakfast together, like, you know, Gretchen would be mourning her. So this is all kind of weird, but anyway, moving forward. And in the prison, Leah is running around like a mad woman trying to escape or find a way out or something, and then sees the monitors with the boys. So it's kind of interesting that we open with her obviously in the place finding So like, I'm wondering if she was just like running around and found a boy's room immediately, or because we'll get to Leah's confrontation with the blonde guy with glasses, because I loved that. It was hot. But
well, I also had like a question about, obviously Leah told the girls, or at least I forget who it was, somebody about the pit, But do you think she like told all the girls everything about, oh, okay, I think Nora was more involved? Do you think she laid it out or was like, no, I'm not going to tell them because they're going to think I'm insane?
Well, isn't that what she said when Leah like Erfat and lost it at her?
Yeah. When she's like ripping at it at the dirt, she's like, Nora threw me in here. She's kind of screaming about it being, I'm sure that Leah said it to Fatten, and Fatten was like, you can't say that to anybody else. You sound fucking bonkers. So I'm glad Leah kind of put it away for 3 episodes. Like she screamed at Nora, she kind of put it away.
Yeah.
Well, no, she screamed at Rachel. No, Rachel. That's what I meant to say. Not Nora, Rachel. Yeah. Rachel, yeah. Rachel. Dude, sorry.
Leah, man, I was texting you guys and I was like, you guys like Leah? Like, I'm trying so hard but she always makes the wrong decision. But exactly what you're saying, Kathleen, lately, she's just like, I know she's been going through a lot. It's hard for her to just operate like a normal person. But lately she's turned over a new leaf and it's just like enjoyable to be around and watch. Yeah. So like I said, like all the girls are awesome. I have one that I hate now.
I agree. The island's pretty good right now.
Yeah, the island is pretty good right now.
The vibes are high. The vibes are good.
Yeah, morale's good.
We're a family.
Yeah.
That's what they said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just loved that. When Leah and Rachel like walk off. Rachel's like, I'm not gonna sit here and listen to them pity us. And Fenton's like, how are we feeling about that partnership? Like, no, that's not, like, a not good. Are you kidding me? That's gonna be a train wreck. But no, they found each other and it's like so perfect. They're like, yeah, it sucks, but like double for us because Nora's gone and you tried to kill yourself.
I also love that Leah was doing the eyebrow pulling tick when she was sitting on the beach. I think it was talking to Rachel, and that was like from season 1. I think it was Shelby was like telling her like stop and stuff like that when Leah was getting anxious. But I just like that they're bringing little details like that over and being consistent, because everybody knows consistency is what makes good shows great.
Agreed.
A million times.
Agreed. Okay, let's talk through the episode titles really quick. So the episode, first of all, we're talking through episodes 1 through 3. I don't even think we said that. 1 through 3 on this one, we're going to break it up. So the first episode is titled 30/1, which is corresponding days, which day they're showing for the girls, which day they're showing for the boys. I thought they started late and like maybe 30 days later is when the boys started, but it's not. It just means that there's different timelines they're showing you, because the next one is 34/12 and the next one's 36/14, et cetera. So we're starting with 31. Taylor Swift, Epiphany, hot. Such a good scene. That was like when they're all walking through Nora dying. Quote unquote dying. I'm not going to stop saying allegedly, because I will not be caught dead.
They also have never said that she's dead. They only refer to her as missing.
She's just gone.
Yeah, they refer to her as missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think she's going to like pop up back on the island later?
I don't know. I'm a little bit pessimistic about her actually returning to the show based off of the fact that she doesn't have any credits on it, and also knowing that there was some drama behind the scenes. But I do think that they're going to somehow tie in that she's still alive.
Yeah, and just like do the whole thing, not your face, but like show the back of her head talking.
She'll come back
like
for 3.
We'll say that the Marvel TV shows actually did go into their first few credits of the first like season and did edit it to make sure it didn't say specific things and give specific people credit. So, you know, if they're really paying attention and good, maybe they're doing that on purpose. Who knows? I could totally see a falling out happen, because they did with like all the shows, like freaking The Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
Matt. So it's like anything could happen here. Well, I love Nora, and if she's gone, I'll be heartbroken.
Yeah, some IMDb pages are sloppier than others. I got spoiled for Bly Manor from that, because they like put another name under somebody, and I was like, you fucking better stop. And now I've never looked at an IMDb page for something that is like I'm ongoing watching. Like, I haven't seen The Wilds just in case someone has a different name than it should be. You know what I mean?
Speaking of almost ruining something, I almost got Shoni ruined for me, because when you watch the screeners in Shoni, you showed them like kissing or something. I didn't start the show yet.
Oh, I shared it on my Instagram story.
Yeah.
I mean, statute of limitations are out.
Yeah, should we like
I was like, wait a
second. Yeah, wait, it was embargo. Like,
wait. Thing? What?
Like, you sharing that.
Oh no, I shared that. I just shared that was straight from the Wilds Instagram.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Okay. That was them posting it.
It was like you taking a video.
Oh.
I was like,
wait, did I share something today?
No. It was a few days ago. And I exited out right away because I didn't want it. Anyway, cut all that.
That scene is so fucking cute.
It is.
Oh my God.
It is insanely cute. Spoiler. But I was like, oh, I don't want to see any spoilers. And thank God I exited away.
That scene has like Tony's like sass while being so sweet at the same time. She's like, it infuriates me to have to say this to a fucking pageant queen or something like that. I'm like, God, you guys are so fucking cute.
That was really cute.
I love that. But anyway, let's talk about what we're like. Never mind. I'm rerouting that. For Nora, I feel like I would rather her be there. But if she was still on the island and Leah like had to, it would be a much different season. Like we're getting like all these sweet, cute moments from these girls now that they're just kind of accepting that they're there for now. And they're like making a home and being a family. I feel like if Nora was still there, it would just be like pure chaos and war. And they'd maybe kill her like Lord of the Flies style murder Nora.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was actually really interested to see is how season two was going to handle the island, knowing that it was all just a big experiment. And then they were like, nope. And they swept that rug out from under my feet and said, Nora's gone. So I'm like, I'm pretty much dead set at this point that they're not going to learn that experiment until like it's over or whatever, until day 50 or whatever.
Well, we did see like in the asylum at the end of season one, Leah has that note that says, you're right.
Shelby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only Shelby, Leah, and even
Rachel.
I was going to say Rock knows now, but you know what I mean? Rachel doesn't know. Does she?
I thought you were going through the people that were alive.
No, so, I was like saying confirmed. Like, who knows? It's a experiment.
Like confirmed.
Yeah. I wonder when Leah and Shelby talk. Obviously, it's before day 50. Because they're not allowed to see each other in there.
Well, didn't they sneak in and see each other? They gave each other a hug.
Like they must have talked. That's when she dropped the note. So they must have talked before they got rescued. Leah must have sewn her theories in a little bit.
Sure.
But I guess we'll find out.
I know. I can't wait to see the rest of it. I didn't think we were going to get this much more on the island. I thought they were going to get.
I thought it was done.
Yeah.
And then you find out. No, I got two more weeks and anything can happen.
I thought Nora being attacked, or sorry, Rachel being attacked was going to be like the last straw to be like, okay, we're killing these girls. Let's get them off this fucking island. But no.
Yeah. How like, a girl loses her hand and like, oh, yeah, according to plan. Like, this is exactly like what?
Well,
like,
I mean, it kind of proved Gretchen's point, though, because like, they healed, like they not fixed her, but like what's the
matter? They managed. Like
they gave her, you know, the
treated her. Yeah.
I just
the help like, that she needed.
I'm also sure that they had to sign something where like if they died as the mole, the experiment was allowed to continue. Whereas if it was any of the other girls, a death might have triggered like, all right, get them out of there.
Yeah. Well, who was the dead boy?
Let's talk about the boys generally. Let's dive in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Roth is the first one that we meet. What were our instant takes on him? Because his backstory is that episode two or one? His
two.
Backstory.
Two. Yeah.
You were shaking your head no, Kathleen.
I don't like him.
Uh-oh.
I don't like Roth.
Really?
Roth?
Can't even remember the kid's name.
I can't get a read. First of all, let me just put this out here. I'm like, all these boys are kissing each other. Every single one of them. I'm getting vibes from every single one of them. Everyone. I'm like, Kieran. Yeah, he's kissing all these boys. He's the douchey lacrosse boy.
Yeah.
I'm like, even with gonorrhea, McKinley he's kissing
douchebag,
everyone.
Bag, as said in the first.
Yeah. Scene. And it's always, I do like that they pair people up like from the same school. Like here are two best friends. Like Tony and Marty, and then the brother and the stepbrother, like Nora and Rachel. I like all that junk. Same schools, things like that. It's good.
Emma, you pointed out that the pairings between the boys and girls even were similar. Like both of them had a sibling pair. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like two were in the same school, but weren't like friends. They just knew of each other.
And then two were like enemies, which is like Taylor and Kieran from whatever that backstory is.
And Don Shelby. Or not enemies, but just like cut off from different fucking
the Texans.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love them. I love the girls. Every time the boys were on, I was like,
really? Every time? No, no. Redeemable qualities.
No. I like the boys now. I do like the boys now.
I don't want it. I'm like, I want the girls.
I will say in episode one, I'm like, give her these tits. Let's see the girls. All right. But then, after that was the same thing with episode one. Once you get to know the girls, and you're like, all right, once you got to know the guys, I was like, Bo, I fucking love you, man. Like,
I also really liked how they did the transitions. Like, they were first talking about the girls and the way that they were doing it. It just, it worked. Like, it was a continuation and didn't feel quite like a new story.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was personally kind of nervous about going into.
Same.
It's kind of alluded to that the boys experienced some trauma around day 15.
Yep.
And clearly they couldn't last past day 34. Do we have any theories to what that was? Specifically, I think Roth or Scotty said, some of us seem nice, but we were turning into monsters.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the one that is a monster, and why is it Seth?
I was going to say, if he's not the narc, he's the dude who like snaps. I mean, that's a further episode narc.
But come on, right? He's got to be the one that just put you.
Seth is Glass's half stepbrother. I mean,
yeah,
I call him Jack Antonoff. I feel like he looks like
He does look like.
I mean,
he's hot.
They're all very nicknameable.
Yeah. So, I called Seth to be the narc. The one fault is him drowning the kid, his brother. I was like, okay, maybe he's not the fucking steadfast narc.
Yeah, he's got some psychopath
instincts. Yeah.
You know what's funny, though, is that this is the first time I've thought it. Maybe Skrillex is the narc, which is, I think his name
would
Henry.
Be the Nora equivalent.
Would be the Nora equivalent because they're the two siblings. Yeah. And Rachel was kind of like one of the jocks. Who are the two meatheads of the group? It's Seth and the Lax bro. They're gonna be the leaders of whatever group. They're splitting the three and three. The alphas. Thank you. Where was I going? But since they're the sibling pairing from the girl, it would make sense. And Rachel was the jock of those siblings. I keep giving you the eye contact too. I'm
staring
sorry,
right in the eyes. We're all in the same room, people.
Skrillex could be the narc.
It's funny that you phrased it like that, because I told Al when we were watching episode three that my first question was going to be, who's your favorite character and why is it Fatten? And that's how I was going to phrase it.
I am with you there.
Yeah.
I was thinking would be best friends with Fatten is Margot from The Magician.
I love that.
100%.
I would pay so much money just to watch them have like a conversation in character.
Agreed. While we're on parallels, I just want to talk about the fact that, you know, what made me think that the days were staggered, like they started the boys late, is because I was like, you know what? Since Jeanette died on day one, they probably had to make one of the boys die on day one. But Jeanette was an accident. They didn't want Jeanette to die. This boy was a decoy. This was like, they must have taken a fucking cadaver that looked like him and had it ready and just dumped it in the water.
I'm realizing it was the same flight attendant. So I think that
it had to be staggered.
Blake, the cake guy.
Yeah.
I was like, you had to name him Blake, the guy that gives him cake.
Wait. Oh, you made that up?
No.
He's credited as such.
Wait, I must talk about the fucking Marty's like dream dance like sequence in season one was so unexpected and so incredible and stupid. I remember watching season like when I tell you I started season one at 6 p.m. and I ended it at 3 a.m. the same night. I was watching that scene at like 1 a.m. and I was like, I gotta go to bed. It's like, what the fuck is going on right now? It was awesome though. Like, no, that was amazing.
I think that's when she was like tripping off the bad clams or oysters.
Yeah.
Or the mussels.
Oh yeah. That's a scene.
So funny. Actually, that is like my sexiest scene.
I was gonna say, was that your sexiest scene with Tony licking the clam?
How did you know that? That was Paul's sexiest scene. Tony and that clam around the campfire just going at it like nobody was watching.
I was gonna ask that at the end. I didn't know if it was gonna be like, I was like, it had to be a Shoni scene for sure, but it wasn't gonna be like Aaliyah and her pedo fucking boyfriend scene.
No, because that's just,
I hated
she was
that
icky.
Backstory.
Yeah, so icky.
Mm-hmm. What did you expect, Aaliyah, if you lie to a dude and say I'm 18?
Yeah, it's brutal. That was brutal to watch for sure.
Unhinged.
It hurt. Yeah.
From the jump.
Me and Emily were watching together. We just watched the first few episodes. And when they do get to that reveal, Aaliyah gets in the car. I was like, oh, I had to tell my parents you were an Uber. And he's obviously something's up. He was like, somebody sent me your birth certificate in like September 5th or whatever. And we were like, oh my God, she's not 18 yet. And he was like, September 5th is when you turn 17. We were like,
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
That's literally disgusting. So gross.
Sorry for anybody who's ears. I just demolished.
I'll lower that on the volume. I'll save your ears. Should we keep going with the boys?
Yeah.
So we've got Josh, who is people voted might be the narc. He is the dorky medicine boy. He's the one with the only suitcase that happened to have a lighter, all the medicine, this and that. So, yeah.
Yeah, he could be the narc. But now that I'm thinking about it, it might be the younger stepbrother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's Skrillex now.
Well, or would they make us think they wouldn't?
And that's the point.
I don't know. It's just that they said, like, they harped on it a million times that this guy has been in Boy Scout and had, you know, 92 merit badges or whatever. And it's like, okay, this guy obviously knows how to live in the wild. And she specifically said that's what we want one of our people on the ground.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the mole wouldn't start, like, singing loudly around a cougar, though. A mole would know that there might be some actual danger out there and be like, okay, let's be quiet.
Yeah. I was like, shut the fuck up.
He was like a little crazy.
Yeah.
He came in with the sea shanties.
Yeah, he really did.
You can pick a mole, but that doesn't make Nora less crazy. Like, I mean,
that's
true. She was probably like on the spectrum, but she just still was like herself. Like, you can't like go against your instincts because then it's obvious, right? So he's still just being a jackass, like emo boy with no cares. Like, so
true. They're doing good with keeping it kind of like, could like toss a coin. Who fucking knows?
It really could be anyone. I think that Josh is the red herring, though, because I think it would be too obvious for it to be the kid that has the medicine. And
sure. It's kind of like Shelby finding all of the suitcases, which makes her the red herring in season one a bit.
I also wonder if they're going to do something similar with like the black box and finding like, you know, all of the like suitcases sporadically.
Did they find a bag of chips? Wasn't that like an
There was a talkie.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if they're going to do something similar for the boys.
Well,
They did. It was in the first episode. Remember, that was the other shady thing. They stumbled upon this latch and this hatch in the woods. And
we have to talk
like,
about
think of, like,
That was weird.
The is there like fresh?
So why is there like a?
They looked at the journal and there were like wildlife pictures. And I was theorizing maybe since Gretchen is a professor, she was doing some like graduate study experiment. Clearly, she knew about the. You know what I'm saying? That's a plausible theory for why that structure is there.
But the
Seth
like,
was pretty.
What kind of island am I on? Or like
Seth was pretty quick to be like, "Yeah, wildlife study. Don't think about it too hard. Free lots of resources.
Like underground bunker in a random island.
He could be like, Roth found it. Everyone, like he was deflecting hard.
That's true.
It was weird.
Yeah,
I stand by it.
They're gonna kiss.
They're gonna kiss. That was another thing that Brian brought up when we were watching, is he was like, I don't think it's going to be Seth because they're building up this romance between the two of them. But I think
two things could be true.
I think that they are doing that intentionally because it's just gonna cause more of more drama, you know, if the mole ends up being involved with someone.
Well, I just wanna go back on that whole Seth and Roth are gonna kiss, because I think Roth and Leah are gonna kiss, and that's my.
He is our bisexual king.
He really might be.
Ralph is definitely our bisexual king.
Sure.
He loves that totally girl. He loves that girl.
I don't love that girl.
Oh, I hate her. She's
bourgeoisie
terrible.
Family. Actually, she's the heiress to a salsa fortune.
Honestly, her parents were kind of nice, though. She wasn't.
Her parents are hot too.
Yeah, there's
actually her parents were kind of cool. They picked him up from jail and were just like, "We'll help you out with the lawyer."
Well, I think that she's frustrated with him for not having any like passions or anything. I get that. I got that from her. I was like, okay, I feel that. He seems like clingy and he's like, well, I love you. And she's like, okay, well.
But also they're kids. Like, isn't it okay that he doesn't really know?
I think it's what his dad told him. Roth's dad got in his face and said she's gonna forget about. That's what it is. I think he slipped up. Like, her parents just had to pick him up from jail and she has options. She's probably going to college.
Bracelet.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
She's over it.
He's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, his mom was like, you quit soccer and your grades suck. Like, but this girl is looking for someone who like knows himself and has a passion. And and he, meanwhile, he's like giving up his whole life to just like follow her around. So yeah, I think it's just not really going to pan out.
Yeah.
His dad is going to be correct.
Enter perfect scenario to experiment with your sexuality in the form of a plane crash with seven other pubescent boys.
He's already wearing a bracelet, so he's halfway there.
Well, they also
living on a prayer.
They also like kind of alluded to it in the scene where he's where Kieran,
yeah.
where Kieran's naked in the ocean.
Yeah.
Because they made it so weird and like elongated. Like it, he didn't have to have such a weird response about it, Ralph. No. I mean,
well, neither did Kieran. Kieran didn't have to be like, you're looking at my dick, like swinging his dick.
B-Toms is exploding.
He's excited. Yeah.
Biggest theory, does Kieran have a micro penis?
Yes.
And that's
100%.
Why he said it wasn't cool. This shit you pulled back in school, dude, to the gay kid in the group. And he was just like, yeah, you're right. It wasn't cool. Maybe he outed him for having a micro penis because he was such a bully to him in school. And he was like, very quick, like, what? You staring, Ralph? What, you want to take a look? That's like some projecting overconfidence. I'm like 20% on this theory, but 20% is enough to say micro penis on the podcast. Also,
he's not giving me the credit here, and I appreciate it because I don't know if I necessarily want the credit for this one, but I was the one who was like, he's got a micro
wiener.
Was that you
first?
Yes.
We came up with it together.
When he was standing in front of Rafe.
Rafe.
You guys got me freaking out. I just say Raphael on my head. All right. So Rafe. I swear I heard some slaps against his thigh when Kieran was, you know, wiggling it around. So I don't know.
Like the listening
around him. Nah, dude, I don't think he has a microphone.
Well, he also has some kind of infection. So
he's got the gonorrhea.
She has his chest. Yeah.
Well, so. I think it's interesting that, I mean, Kieran and Taylor clearly have some baggage. Some beef went down at school, but he doesn't like throw homophobic shit at him other than like Taylor like picking that fight when he
butt munch.
But like he just comes at Raph. Like it's very interesting. I'm like, do you have a gaydar, Kieran? Like, why do you why are you seeking out?
I thought Raph that was here? Interesting too. It was like really intense.
It's not his shtick. He's not like homophobic to ever, and he just targeted Raph,
right. And also Raph's reaction was weird. Like it was like very right. It was very like
I know.
Like
I'd be
awkward.
Like, dude, what are you talking about? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
If I was, I'd say, hey, nice guy.
He didn't deny it though. Like he was kind of, he was just like stumbling over his words. Like,
I just don't even know who I am or what I am.
Yeah, I was basically. Like, bro, you've been away from your girlfriend for, I don't know how long.
He also hates himself. Is it just me or did anyone else get the vibe that the girlfriend might have, I don't remember if we knew why Ralph, how he got to Gretchen, but I kind of thought that in that car ride after they picked him up from jail, like
the girlfriend's mom gave him a business card. I think
that's the lawyer's business card was Gretchen's. I said passageways or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah. I think it was something to get him out of trouble and make him look good. And I thought
and
was
that's
Gretchen's
that's
thing.
Like the guy's brochure was a little bit different.
Is
than the girl.
Mark you the had, mole?
Yeah,
or Ralph? Who's Ralph? Mark?
Ralph. Well, Ralph is the
are
mole.
You talking Moon?
I don't know who Mark is.
Are you talking Moon Knight?
Yes, I am.
I think actually that's a really good question, Mark.
Mark.
Now I got you saying Mark.
Ralph could be because he does have that really weird reaction to Leah at first, being like, "I have to go tell someone that you're here."
Yeah, and I think that might be a good twist because obviously we never got to see any of the narcs in the girls talk to Mr. and Mr. Copman people, detectives.
Do we think detectives? They like Gretchen and are fully about the experiment? No. The detective guys? Yeah.
I loved when the guy who was doing it with her was just giggling when Scotty was like, dude, she's awful at this.
Is this
like,
a rookie?
Yeah, exactly. Right. That was
like those moldy ass interrogation tactics.
Speaking of them, so we talked about Kieran. He's this like the fuck boy, gonorrhea, micro penis man. And then we can quickly talk about Ivan Taylor. Is that his full name? Because people were calling him Taylor, and then I was confused because his name is Ivan. You said his name was Ivan.
We were getting so confused.
Yeah, yeah. So
there's no close captioning.
I think they were just calling him by his last name. He's the gay man. Love that. Love the rest.
He's my favorite.
So
he's also the one with the nice clothes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He is so funny and so entertaining. I love whenever he's on the screen.
Yeah.
I enjoy it too.
I'm excited to see their backstory together. I like when they cross like that.
Bro, you guys
what
are
do
so
you have
right.
to say?
I do not like Ivan Taylor. He's too catty, man. He like picks out fights. The butt munch thing. Butt munch is so PC.
Yes. Butt munch did piss me off. I was like, what are you doing here?
I didn't even know it was rude enough.
I mean, Kieran was right. It doesn't matter. Everyone munches butts.
Yeah, true.
But it's
true,
rooted true. In that before, I guess, because that used to be like a thing. I understand. But
also, it does sound like while Chad I'm excited for their background episode because he was definitely an asshole bully, and I'm excited to see what Ivan Taylor revealed about him.
It was totally, you guys got me in that mindset now. It's totally Glee and Kurt and his bully. His bully bullied him because he was gay and actually was in love with Kurt. Wait, Kurt?
Kieran?
Yes,
no,
Kurt.
No, he's no, talking Glee. About Glee.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kurt.
Oh, I've never seen Glee. I thought you were calling one of the kids Glee. I was like, which one is Glee?
I vaguely know what you're saying.
I think that should be your next show.
He bullied him because he was actually secretly in love with him.
Yeah.
And facts.
Glee's a great show.
I sent a text message, or I sent a Snapchat to Emily, and she screenshotted. I'm pissed. And it was after episode 3 of season 1 of The Wilds, and it was Dot's episode.
Season one.
Dot's episode. And I was bawling, crying because it just seemed the dad happened. And I sent her a text and I was like, I'm so straight, but I haven't cried at a show since the Finn and Mr. Shoe, like Finn death and Mr. Shoe's reaction from Glee. That's the last time I cried. And this fucking show had me right up there. And sorry, we were just talking about Glee. So I had to throw my other.
I Glee. Love a Glee pitch.
Yeah, wow.
Sorry,
he's doing pitch down for Glee.
Okay. A great show. The Wilds, also a great season 1 and first 2 episodes of season 2. Let's get back to it.
Okay, so next we've got the brother and stepbrother pair, Henry and Seth. So Henry, I assume that's Henry. It seemed like, what do you think the family's going on? Because Seth called Henry's mom, and Henry got mad. So I was trying to figure out the dynamic.
Seth is adopted.
They're stepbrothers.
Yeah, but I think maybe his dad adopted him and then they married into it because he's like, your parents didn't want you or something like that.
I thought it was
his mom ran away.
Yeah, I think Seth is the older with the glasses.
Jack
right?
Anston.
Yeah.
Okay. So Seth, I think his father married Emo Kid's mother. And when Seth said, you know, mom, Emo Kid was like, what do you get off calling my mom your mom? Because, like, I don't know, maybe I'm not close enough.
Maybe the dad left.
I think Henry's dad died. That's why he's so, like, morbid and emo. But, like, I think Seth's mom left him. And he's like, that's why your mom didn't even want
death
you.
Death is coming.
So I think, like their parents, like, remarried and they forced them together. And neither of them really. Well, I guess Seth's more fine with it. Henry does not want that family.
Yeah, agreed. Obviously. Seth seems, like, almost happy that he has a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a sweet boy. He's my favorite, and he's also the narc. So
it's scaring me when he did that thing, right? He's like, why are you so sweet? Why are you so positive? Like, you're just like white knuckling your way through life or something. Like,
yeah.
He needs a therapist.
Yeah.
He says he has one. Okay, buddy. You got to do more work.
I know. I know. I binged all of Heartstopper yesterday, and which is this new cute little gay show on Netflix where it's like just like a slow burn of the two high schoolers like falling in love. It's so fucking cute. I'm really confusing the two right now because it's all boys basically in that show. And now I'm like so confused about the boys.
Be all gay boys.
I do. I do. I actually do want that. Yes. Correct.
I couldn't tell by the way you said really, all these boys are kissing.
I really wouldn't be surprised though if a good portion of them, like a good portion of them do seem like they're gay. So
literally that they could just swing no matter what.
Yeah,
it's that Gen Z
bunch of horny boys left on an island for a month. I mean,
still going through puberty. They're 17, so God bless them.
I don't know if I'm seeing those vibes from Scotty and Bo, but like other six, 100% are like
6 out of 8. That's lit.
Speaking of Bo, I actually, are you gonna
go ahead? No,
I think this is a good place to turn to them because we haven't really talked about the two best friends.
Yeah, we can kind of turn into episode 2 as well. Besides, we can jump into Gretchen's son in a bit, but let's jump into
I thought it was very interesting how Scotty, right? That's his name, was like trying to sneak the food to Bo. And Bo was not smooth about it. And wasn't it Josh?
Not at all. Josh kind of saw it in a glance, we think. So.
But he like the way he, this was actually something that might point to Josh being the narc almost, because it like alluded to the fact that he might have seen them passing the granola bar or Nutri-Grain or whatever it was. But then he like didn't say anything. Instead, he said something about something else.
Yeah, he was like laughing about some stupid joke.
Oh, yeah, it was the spills.
Spills again.
That's so stupid.
Which honestly, I actually was about to say it's a great idea. Yeah, I would totally do that.
Trapped in an island with celebrity. Dude, it's the head of the Spills account.
But the fact that he's taking photos of the spill makes me also believe he's the narc, because why would he be so relaxed and taking photos of
also, things? Bro, you see a spill, instincts kick in. You're running the Spills account?
Yeah, seriously. But that's years of training.
They don't know that they're getting off of this island.
Speaking of spills, really quickly, I'm just going to say that I think that he is going to have the saddest backstory, because Shelby's for me was the saddest backstory. I thought that her backstory was fucking devastating with her friend Kit, like her being in the closet and just like projecting all of that like internalized stuff onto her friend, and then her friend killing herself is like the worst thing of all time. And I think that's another reason why Shelby does not want to go home. Like, she's on this island, like, well, that's spoiling the end of three, but she literally just like dropped the ball hard there because she's having a great time on the islands. Her life on the island is better than it is at home. And I think that, like, I think he's gonna have the worst because he's kind of the happiest on the island. I think he's gonna have the worst backstory.
That's a good point. Yeah, they do. They're both very like happy-go-lucky kind of. Mm-hmm.
It didn't really look like it was a guarantee. Like, she decided to leave them on the island. There might have been like a 2% chance she could flag that ship down.
She didn't even try. She was her shift to try. And she said,
that's the shift.
Drop the ball there a little bit. I mean, literally.
That's true.
She left it.
I think 3 minutes before that in the episode was when they were all singing. That's home. When, you know, Rachel, which I think arguably my favorite scene of like the whole series.
So cute. So cute.
And she literally turns to Tony and is like, I think this is like the happiest I've ever been or something like that. So yeah,
it's like the best moment of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Aww. So, you know, she doesn't want to go home. She doesn't want to go back to all that.
Cute.
Yeah.
Drop the freaking ball.
She also can't be herself at home.
Exactly. Like, think about Rachel with her. She needs somebody to look at that thing. That thing is infected.
Yeah, truly.
Well, Rachel's a tank.
Yeah, she is.
Her backstory is really bad, too.
Yeah.
They all have bad backstories. That's the point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If I'm honest.
Dots is the worst.
No, I was going to say some of it against Rachel.
I mean, she did have to, like, kill her father.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Yeah. But that was something where it's, like, devastating in the fact where it's, like, her dad's passing, like, this and that, which is fucking devastating. Shelby did something terrible, which then led to something even more devastating and terrible. It's like did something to that. Like, it wasn't Dot's fault by any means. She just had, that's something that happened to her.
Yeah. It was selfless of Dot and selfish of Shelby.
Right. Yeah. Well said. That's my girl.
What about Fatten too? And she's sending all of their sex with her dad. First of all, she's whipping that dick pic of her dad out way too casually, showing it around. Even the dude was like, dude, that's your dad. She's like, so I'm like, I'm with the guy on this one here. Why is that your reaction? Because the way I saw it, the parents being so calm about it, it's like the wife knew, and like that they were kind of like open about it. She was like saying like, yo, our private life is none of your business. That's what I was getting. And I'm like, Fatten, dude, what are you doing?
Fatten stab was hot.
I think Fatten just didn't feel like loved or like family, right? She was just like a tool for them to just like show how she was like another means to show their wealth and like how great they were and fancy.
Trophy child.
Yeah, their cash cow, if you will. And
that's why I was saying that she had like the most, she was the most adult in terms of like life experience, because they were all dealing with their own like family trauma, whereas she was expected to be the award-winning celloist or whatever and travel the world and meet fancy people and et cetera.
And then lived like a double life where she could, you know, like she could raise herself.
And sexually most experienced too. Yeah, that's very adult stuff.
I loved when Fatten was, you kind of forget that Fatten was like, is like a master cellist. And then Lee is playing the fucking thing and she's like, she's flat, but it's funny because you're like, oh yeah, she's a musical genius, like her pitch is probably like absolutely
spot
perfect
on. Yeah.
And then when she like approached Martha when she was like really grumpy and Martha was just like, I'm in a bad mood, like I want to be alone, you should probably leave. And she just like goes right up, she's like, if you have any issues like maybe with sex, like I'm here. They're like the same age, but like she's able to offer herself as like the older sister. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Also, that brings back to actually Martha in season one. Like she asks Leah like what it's like to be in love. Like Martha's just like this like sweet, hopeless romantic that like just wants to experience that. And so like Fatten can help her.
Marcus. I love her and Marcus. Arguably my favorite couple over Shoni.
Who and who?
Marty and Marcus.
Marcus.
I knew she was gonna pull. I called that the mannequin was coming out, and she's like, "Something's not right."
Someone.
Yeah,
we're missing someone.
Marty's backstory is awful too. Terrible. Oh, God, they're all bad. Now that we're like, really saying one can't win.
That's a prerequisite.
Tony's is also terrible.
You have to have a horrible child,
right? Like, it's people who are, I don't know, want to say gifted or like talented, but they kind of are, right? And they've overcome adversity. So Gretchen's like, yeah, they'll overcome more adversity on this fucking island. So obviously the boys are going to be stacked in the same way. I don't think any of them have a light upbringing. You know what I mean?
Well, I also think that's what gave them the like excuse of the retreat. Like, it's like, oh, like they're troubled. Like Leah's parents, like they were like, you know, the summer camp, like by the time she's returned to you at the end of August, she'll be a completely changed girl.
Dude, the whole parents and like being, or I'm sorry, having video conferences with Gretchen. I'm like, how are you not freaked out that you haven't seen anybody? It's been what, 50 days? The parents didn't ask any questions.
I think that's part of what they were sold on. It's like they're going away and you won't talk to them. It's part of curing them.
Oh, okay. I thought it was supposed to be like a short trip, like not 50 days.
I remember with like Leah's parents, it was like, it'll be hard. You won't be able to contact her, but like that's best for her kind of thing.
So I actually thought about this in my recent like rewatch this weekend. They tell the girls that it's a weekend retreat, but they tell Leah's parents that it's a summer camp, which reminds me of like wilderness camps that troubled kids get sent to.
Yep.
It's the same idea. You get picked up in the middle of the night. You have no idea where you're going. Like, I know people who like thought they were going to Disney World, and jokes on them, weren't, you know, but then you're there for like,
okay. That makes
somewhere
way
between
more sense.
6 and 12 weeks with no contact with your family.
Children deserve better. This is fucked.
Yeah, this is really fucked.
That's
up.
A real thing.
You okay, know.
Let's just jump into the point of it all. What the fuck is Gretchen going to tell the parents? They're like, she lost a hand. This person died. I'm like fucking traumatized. Like, what do you tell the people? What do you tell anybody?
Well, Jeanette was an adult.
But everyone else.
It doesn't.
In Gretchen's head, because she's cuckoo, acceptable losses. I think she'll give them like a doctor speech, honestly, like, I'm sorry, we couldn't do anything to save them or help them further. They were sacrificed for the greater good of women.
Yeah, but
being
probably
placed
in the
paperwork
power.
They didn't read, right?
Or that's there probably is some fine print about
the
like
parents had to sign off on this somehow, and there's
without knowing.
But I'm talking about, this is Paris Hilton and like the school she got. If anyone's seen Paris in Love, basically Paris Hilton, her parents sent her to this school where she got fucking beat up, like thrown in isolation rooms for like weeks at a time. Like, it was terrible. And Paris Hilton has been like working to abolish them basically because it's terrible. And this is like on a mass scale. These people are going to be traumatized and need therapy for the rest of their lives. Like, this isn't something that you could just exit. Like, this, I don't understand what the end game is here. It's like,
so that's how Gretchen will get, because I've been saying to her, what's the end game, right? Like, yeah, you get your experiment, hope no one dies, but then how do you explain it away? And then how do you deal with the fallout? Like, well, I don't, you know, what does she, does Gretchen even care? You know, I mean,
it's also, it's not like she thinks that she's doing something for the greater good. So do the people that run these schools. I mean, it's the same exact thing. They think that they're being helpful. It's not malicious, but like, she doesn't care about their individual lives. Yeah. She cares about the big picture.
Whew. All right. We need to keep jumping in because we've got plenty of stuff to cover. We've been recording for an hour. Okay. So Leah is, this whole episode is basically just trying to get any information out of Roth that they can. And that's basically the plot point. You get Roth's backstory, but I need to say this line. It's, once upon a time, two plane crashes were staged. All the victims were dosed and stranded on two islands, 8 on one, 8 on the other, though that number was subject to change. I was like, fuck. And that was the trailer, right? That's the season. I was hesitant to post that on my story because that is such a spoiler. That's such a crazy spoiler. Like,
why do you keep up?
No. So this is also the home scene. So Rachel and Leah are like idle hands. What do they say? Idle hands.
Devil's mind.
Devil. Yeah, yeah. Whatever. So cute. But they're like off doing things because it's the only thing making them not crazy is doing stuff with their hands and building things. So when they find the, they become a band and sing Home, which is incredible. That song fucks.
That
and it's so cute.
Good. And right before that too, when they were like figuring it out, like, oh man, like, this has helped me. Like, I haven't had a crazy thought in like 100 hours. Like, man, I should have been a carpenter. You would have been a hot carpenter. Yeah. Like, dude, this is what I wanted from Rachel and Leah, dude.
Yeah.
The two that I had a problem with in season one. Now they're like clicking and like having fun. I fucking love it.
Yeah, I'm here for the friendship.
Yeah, there's a lot of good scenes. First of all, they also get the retirement box in this episode, yeah, which is so cute. And also, I feel like they did that on purpose to kind of show like this wouldn't have been on your plane. This may have been like some other sort of wreckage or something. Like,
yeah,
I think they did it to throw them off, but it still was obviously planted from that team. They just made it so like, here's a little treat, a little retirement party treat, which was so cute.
That was really cute.
Yeah. And then I do want to say that I thought that I had like favorite friendships, but then I was like during the home scene when Leah like grabs Fatten's face and was singing, but then Fatten and Dot is also really cute. And then Dot and Shelby is also cute from season one. Like when they finally rebonded, like when her teeth fell out and all that stuff. And I'm like, I do like all this, but they're not really giving Shelby any screen time with anybody but Tony this season.
I was yelling, take your teeth out. Like, yeah, Shelby, because I haven't seen it in three episodes yet.
Yeah, I know. It's good. All the friendship is incredible.
Also, when you think about it, like they've been stuck on this island now for over a month.
Yeah.
So
it probably feels like years.
Yeah.
Bond, yeah.
You don't have,
they're also so malnourished, I bet. Like,
now with Martha, they're eating good. Out here just killing all types of animals.
Yeah.
Not, literally not touching a fly to I know how to kill every animal on this island.
Okay. So here's a question. Do you think that the experiment is continuing at this asylum place jail? Because the fact that Leah was like, I know you let me be in there. There's no way you would just let me be in there. You have eyes on us at all times. Like, do you think that the experiment is now continuing at some point? Do you, like Gretchen drawing that smiley face, you know, she was like, I love this girl. This girl is like proving all my points. Be a smart, like fucking diabolical girl, just like me. You know what I mean?
She
like,
loves Leah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely think it's part of the experiment.
Yeah.
Because why else would they have them playing that they're like FBI agents?
Is it like who figures it out first? And again, if the girls figure it out or girl figures it out could first, be. Again, it proves her point. Like,
I don't know.
Like cool. She just keeps evolving the rules.
Yep.
Because she, like, she said something like, maybe she's like, well, what if I change protocol? Like, yeah. She's like, that's not protocol. She's like, and like, it's like,
I'm
it's
the boss.
All, yeah. Science is out the window, like following a formula.
She said, who's the HBIC? Oh, it's me. She really is cringe. I love her though. I actually, like, love to hate Gretchen. I think she's a great villain.
She's
yeah.
a great villain.
She, yeah.
Was she from like Whoville from The Grinch? She looks like she
looks so familiar. Period.
You were the one who called her out for being
6 feet under.
6 feet under.
Mm. Mm.
I never thought of it as the experiment going on. That's actually really cool.
Me neither. Until I said
the way
it.
I took it was that something happened. Like a girl died, or like a kid died, and they're trying to figure out what happened, and they're trying to like figure it out and get these cop or these guys to interview them because, you know, they want to figure out what they're going up against before they get their asses sued.
That's true. That's not a bad point. They do keep saying that it's quarantine too.
Yeah. So I figured like something horrible happened. They say, you know, day 15 for the guys or whatever.
Perfect segue.
Maybe somebody died and now these people are like, oh fuck, we're gonna go to jail unless we figure out exactly what happened and cover it up.
Yep, that's exactly what I think. That, and I think I said this to you, where I was like, they're gonna pin something bad happen on each and they're gonna pin like the murder or something on them. They're gonna be like, we have all of this like evidence of something bad you did, so we gotta like sign this NDA, maybe give them a bajillion dollars and give them an NDA, you know what I mean?
Do we think that's what they, well, I guess that's what they want Leah to get out of Roth, right? Like what happened?
Yeah, probably.
Definitely. That's what it is, day 15.
So here it is. This is episode 3. So this is day 36 for the girls and 14 for the boys. It's Cougar Day. And it's the Scotty and Bo backstory. And Scotty's the one actually getting interviewed. So we know it's Roth and Scotty are the only people who are alive so far outside. There's the only boys we've seen. But yeah, they mentioned the day 15 blind spot. So that's going to be a hot day. I didn't actually look forward to see which day, which episode we were getting day 15. If we ever get it.
The day they kill a jack. That's what they said, right? That was like when they woke up, they were like, oh, like we're going to go
accurate.
Hunting.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Maybe the cameras failed that day or something and they just don't know.
Oh,
what happened, and
cool.
They also fought the fucking
Yeah. They wake up and, you know, somebody's dead. One of the kids is dead.
Who of the boys have we seen?
Just Scotty Ralph and Scotty.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So I have a bad feeling for Bo. I love Bo, but
I love Bo and Scotty's friendship. I love it.
Me too.
I said Bo's done. Yeah.
What was Gretchen's son's name?
It's DJ on the island, but Quinn, his name is Quinn.
Right. We also know he's alive, but he's relevant. At this point.
Yeah. I'm really interested in that cadaver that was ripped up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was
like they carried it in the ocean. That. They really thought it, I mean, the face was bloody and everything. So
his face was eaten.
Okay. I think I know exactly what it is. There's obviously something like right under the surface there that they have like some sort of like summary. I think that probably Leah was chasing Nora out and Nora probably heard them and was just like, they're probably like, go in the ocean and drown. We'll get you. You know what I mean? Like she ran straight into the ocean. I know Rachel just so happened to be out there, but
I was thinking that too, kind of like there's no way that they could bring her back to the island after that. She wouldn't be safe.
Yeah, no.
That was one of my biggest problems, though, with season one was Nora communicating with the cameras through the notebook.
Because
I'm like, you gave that notebook to Leah. Maybe not that one.
Sure.
But, you know, everybody's taking inventory. Everybody knows what everybody has. Like, what are the chances they can look through and either see a million pages torn out or literally your messages to the camera saying, you know, Leah knows.
Also, how did she know where they were?
She probably got the rundown before.
She did have a phone too.
So this episode, I don't think we really needed to dive into Bo and Scotty. I mean, Bo obviously lives a sad life with his dad, who makes everything is like a sergeant and like a
OCD
abusive dad. I knew something terrible was gonna happen. Those t-shirts. Me and Al were just grabbing each other the whole time, being like, "Get the ring on the table." That this and that. We're like, just like, oh my god, this is so stressful. Yeah, and really I didn't like that they smashed that house up at the end. I was like, this is just like stupid kid shit. I was like, this is dumb.
Made absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
All right. I agree that it was stupid, but like, I kind of understand. Like, they were so pissed off. This was his dude's own. They have so much anger about where their lives are. They just want to get some source of like all of this anger and just built up stuff out. And they were just like, fuck it. There's this old person's home. Maybe we won't get caught and just take all their anger out on it. But I agree, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're going to get fucking caught and you're going to get screwed.
Yeah. Kids, man, they make dumb choices.
They really do.
Yeah.
We forget that, I think. You know, you're usually watching shows with like adult age people, probably, right?
And they look like adults. Like a lot of them look like adults.
Probably 20 something.
Yeah. They're played by adults. But
so we forget that they're literally 17.
How that dynamic translates to the island, though, of Scotty and Bo, is that Scotty immediately says an us versus them mentality because it's always been them versus the world. And I really did not like how Scotty was trying to promote that in Bo. Bo resisted it, which was good. I'm hoping they dropped it in episode 3 when the other guys went to sleep and he was just like, yo, they really did have our backs. Let's not try and hide from them anymore. I hope they don't touch that again.
Yeah.
I really like Scotty. He reminds me of Eddie from Ed, Edd n Eddy. Just like a finesser, a schemer. Yeah. He's always got to get rich quick.
Jawbreakers.
Like the whole montage where like it was like a heist scene where they take the dad's car and like head down. Like that was a great scene. I was stressed out though. I knew it wasn't going to have a happy ending.
Yeah. Like, shit, we have 2 minutes. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
It's funny how stressed they made us over like a really minute thing. Like,
yeah.
I was like, he's going to spill in the car. That's what it is. Yeah. Like, they can't have two car accidents in two episodes in a row because of like Ralph's thing. It's like, I was like, he's going to spill.
Yeah. We kept being like, no.
They built really well. They really did a good job building tension over something that is minor in the scheme of like.
And seeing the dad's shadow walk by the door.
I know.
Yeah,
that was like that was bad
news. Like we see these people like getting their asses beat in the wilderness, but this scene had us all like
I know, but yeah, not the cougar scene. It was the dad.
Yep,
fucking dad.
Yeah, really wasn't afraid of the cougar.
Jaguar.
Well, yeah, that's what Scotty called it. Who knows what it is?
Yeah, because he was like, yeah, no, they don't know, but he was like, I always wanted a jaguar. Yeah.
But it's black. That's all we know, right?
Yeah.
Puma,
panther.
Could be any of the above, but
tune in next time.
We actually jumped the gun because the home scene's in the third episode, I think.
It was amazing. Right. It happened.
Yeah, because I was just gonna say because this is where all like the sex. There's like the good. They had this amazing Tony and Shelby shot that it's just like them kind of far away shot, and it was like a gorgeous the way
the sun like lens.
Oh my
flare.
God. It was so good. Was which so went straight into a sex scene.
Joni's
they fans. Really that were.
Also, when Martha, after she had that conversation with
Fatten, she was getting it.
So, yeah, she was like going into the woods to discover herself and like,
yeah,
in tandem with the Shoni scene. So. Yeah,
and also, Dot in tandem going to get her leisure in.
Yeah.
Reading that porny book. Yeah. Kathleen was like, this is going to be Paul's sexiest scene.
Yeah.
Honestly, episode one of season two, they have a scene where they like make out real quick and take each other's shirts off. And I was like,
like, that's hot. Me too.
That's hot.
Me too. I liked Tony like knowing the book and talking about her wedding. I thought that was cute and out of character and a good, cute little surprise that she like fantasizes about her wedding and the cake and everything.
It gave everyone a double take. They're like, you what now?
Yeah.
What?
Who the hell are you girls?
Yeah. I've heard all the cute little conversations like that about making the bed where everyone was like, who makes their bed and who doesn't?
Oh, I love that.
It was so sweet.
Am I on? Like, I feel like I'm team Leah. Like half the time I do. Half
yes,
time
I'm Leah.
That's exactly what we were like. Yeah, yeah, we were like half and half.
I'm more on the I don't, but Alex is on the I do. So
I'm team Leah, but like she makes it hard. But I'll stick it out.
No, no, she means about do you make your bed or not?
It's like, wow, just we generally. We just wanted to go back to oh.
You always make your bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you make my bed as well.
Yeah, I also like how it's a running joke on the girls' island that Leah just is crazy town, which is a new word that you gave to me,
crazy
Kathleen.
Town.
Crazy town is amazing. She's totally crazy town, but she is.
Yeah, totally.
And the island pokes fun at it.
Like, yeah. You have to. She is.
You must.
I literally wrote, it was like, Rachel and Leah's productive crazy corner. Like, they yeah, like two little nut jobs running that. Around the asylum.
Yeah, it's what good.
Stuff we got done.
No, no. Oh,
wow. Yeah, so go ahead.
So my one big question for season two is, what is going on with Shelby's anaphylactic shock that she was in? Do you guys remember that?
Oh, right.
Like, that was in, after the island, you know, she was... They were in the asylum or whatever you want to call it.
You know, that's a great point.
And she said she, you know, she didn't eat the mussels because she's allergic to shellfish. So I assume that's what sent her into the anaphylactic shock. But one, was it on purpose for Leah to just like be a distraction for Leah to get out? And two, like, how did that even happen?
I thought you meant at the end of one, how Shelby was kind of in that like trance. And started cutting her hair off and shit. Is her hair cut off in this season?
No, that was mm-mm. season one.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm saying I thought that's what you meant, that she was in a shock. I don't.
Oh.
I thought you were just like saying like a word.
I'm saying anaphylectic, but I am not confident so, yeah, she at was, all. Like, that's how you pronounce
anaphylaxis.
It.
Okay.
See, I was saying.
But all, actually, it might be anaphylactic.
It's anaphylactic shock.
So she was okay. in. She was in a hospital room bed when they were interviewing Shelby.
Yeah, with like the shaved yeah. head and everything.
Yeah, I can't wait to see why they shave her.
I don't remember them saying it was anaphylaxis.
She was just like seizing up. I think maybe you thought because she avoided that.
I want to go back and say the nurse running around told this to Gretchen or whoever came in because I wrote it down. Okay. Unless I'm stupid.
Yeah, you wouldn't have just made that up.
And they did give her like the EpiPen shot and everything too. So
like, you should know this word, woman.
Okay. So it seems like none of us have any idea what the hell is going on there.
No, I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm like a wellness check on all my girlies. Like, where's everyone in the asylum?
Yeah.
I just get like what they're doing in the room just mm-hmm. for 5 seconds.
Damn, this show is good.
Yeah, this show is good.
Me and Alex are going home after this and watching the next one. Yes. So are we. Yeah.
Are we all
going
to be on the screeners?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we nailed the three episodes. I mean, this ends. This is when Shelby doesn't get the light the fire for the boat.
What
but,
are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing, Shelby?
Bro, it was interesting, too, because it was like at the last second, she looked like maybe she wanted to, but it was too late.
She was fighting with herself.
She really internal battle, for sure.
But also, like, she can't be herself at home. I feel like I said that earlier, but
you did. But I
but like you got to 7 other people or whatever on the app. You know what I mean? But well, how clearly like, are you thinking?
Right. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like if I was Shelby, I'd just be like, fuck this. I'm going to go live with Tony when I get back and like
yeah.
screw my family and my life.
I mean, Tony doesn't have any roots either, so.
Start fresh.
I love those girls. I fucking love those girls.
I hope that talk show scene from season one comes to fruition.
Truly, truly.
Even though it was fake, I still hope it's a thing.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hope it comes to fruition.
Which one of them fucks it up and then Batten. They come out of it and they're like,
Batten's like, I'm going to find the biggest dick I can. Yeah. Fuck it.
Classic. Like,
say that on TV.
That scene was awesome.
It was good. I loved it.
I'm starting to think that Kieran doesn't have a micropenis because they wouldn't give him that and gonorrhea. That's like so much badness.
Yeah.
No, he's inflamed and in pain.
I'm going to buy in on that 20%. I like the I didn't think of it. And I like it. So 20%
was episode 3 you. Where he steals the antibiotics.
I think that 2 or 3. Yeah.
Ivan or Taylor. Let's commit.
Let's call Taylor. Taylor. Call Taylor.
Like too. I did not like how Taylor spilled those beans after making a point to have an emotional. Yeah. I got you on this, dude. Yep. It is embarrassing. Agreed. Like they had a moment and then he completely betrayed that.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I think Taylor's going to be like a shit stirrer on the island.
I don't really trust him. Like I Could like him arc? As a character, but I don't trust him.
He seems really damaged too. He seems like very fragile. I don't know. Like he's got some trauma. I bet.
I think the beef with him and Kieran is actually not direct. Like I don't know why my brain has this theory already, but I think maybe like some lax pro friend of Kieran's and Taylor hooked up or something, and he spilled. Like maybe that's where like the Glee reference comes in. You know, like
it doesn't seem
like Kieran's personally like. You did this to me. He's like, what you did back there wasn't cool.
Right.
That's the vibe I get. The only quote I wrote down of the whole 3 episodes was from Taylor. And he was like, could someone explain what in the absolute caucasity this man is doing?
We laughed out loud.
I love the word caucasity.
I love that.
I used it. And it's just hilarious. Awesome. We'd be doing caucasious things sometimes.
How about Josh saying, I forgot about my kids and it's just Sour Patch Kids. They're like, that's so weird, but I kind of love it. I totally love that.
That was one of my favorite.
Where my kids?
By Taylor.
I'm just going back through my notes and I'm seeing that I wrote, Josh has the lighter. I, in parentheses, Emma, think that Josh is the second mole. So I apparently have changed my opinion.
And you forgot that you changed
your
opinion.
And I forgot. Yes. But the one quote that was my favorite of these first 3 episodes is when Leah is talking to Roth and she's like, same sandals, same sweat, same nightmare.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah. I didn't like if Roth isn't the mole. And now I'm kind of on team. He may be the mole. For this, he's so lame. It's like this girl is literally coming in and telling you this. It's like, just listen, I know you're probably so fucked up from whatever happened.
He just got back. He's probably shocked.
I don't know.
He would kind of be the Leah equivalent, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And I think that may be an amazing twist.
Oh, yeah. You said that earlier.
Yeah.
Although we've already seen his backstory. And based off of that, it doesn't seem.
Nora's had a normal backstory. I mean, Jeanette was kind of like groomed into it. But Nora was kind of found and being like, hey, you like this opportunity? You're throwing on silent.
But Roth's girlfriend gave the card. Right.
It doesn't matter how you find Gretchen. I think Gretchen decides who could be a good narc and who couldn't. I honestly don't think Roth could be a good narc. I think he sucks.
He's so anxious.
Yeah. I agree. Actually, I don't.
I'm pretty honed in on Josh or Seth at this point. Or Henry.
You know what is a
one
good
of those
flip?
Three. I've pretty much eliminated the other 5.
Jeanette, when you see her backstory, is so cool. Whatever her name is in real life, like justice for her, because I was obsessed with her. That
She's
sucks.
So cool.
I couldn't believe she died from like the internal injuries of just like falling onto the boat. I was like, oh, that's I thought it happened just like when they placed her. I wasn't sure how the plane crash was actually going to be staged. Not that they like drugged them, put them in the water, whatever. But Josh will probably be really funny. If anyone's seen like Scary Movie, the one where they make fun of Scream, where Dewey is like kind of, they make him kind of like disability ish. And then at the end, he just like takes off all the shit and he's like a hot boy and he hops in the car. That's what Josh is going to do. He's going to be like, what the fuck? I had to act like a dork this whole time. And he's going to be like a completely different person. Whoever it is going to be like similarly to Jeanette, I think a little bit of a different person, unless that was the Quinn of it all. But either way. I'm just going.
I think Quinn was the Jeanette because everyone else knows each other.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah.
And he was just the one who hated his mom.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Did we already theorize why they yanked him off the island so quick?
Because of Jeanette.
Okay, we did cover that.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, that was my whole argument about why I think the boys started after the girls.
Yeah.
Is because they needed to do all this to keep all variables equal to the girls.
Like, throw things in the mix at the same time.
The girls. Yeah.
She called the guys the control
group. Yes, that might be what makes them that, because they let the girls completely be random, and then when they went through with the guys, they matched the variables.
Okay.
Which isn't what a control is supposed to be, but no. Maybe TV producers just said, oh, the control, that's a science term.
Yeah.
Also, the animal, I feel like, is their shark.
Yeah. Their dangers are equal, I was like, bullshit, Gretchen. They're in the water how many percent of the time? And these guys are on land how much percent of the time?
It's not equal. How far do you think these islands are from each other?
Well, that was a whole other question I was going to say. Do you think they're different islands or the same islands?
I think they're different islands.
But that goes against what I just said, because they started later. They have to be different because, like, how'd you not find that hash? That was my biggest thing.
They're different landscapes, too.
Yeah, true. With, like, the guys are on the cliffs and everything, and the girls didn't really have that.
I feel like the hatch could have been because the guy said it, like, statistically, it all evens out to the same risk level or whatever between the two islands. Maybe their island had some positives, like the hatch, to outweigh the negatives of a fucking cougar on the island.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that the hatch, for any like Lost fans out there, the hatch and Lost is like such a big thing. It's where all the numbers come in. For anybody, I don't want to spoil anything, but it just means that somebody was on this island once upon a time. This is not an island that's never been tracked upon. Kind of like Kieran said, there's no more fucking islands. We found them all. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which is like, we were like, yeah, kind of. That's kind of true. Like, someone has stumbled upon every single fucking island.
They called dibs.
You know what I mean? But a hatch means that somebody was like, actually there, like, this is a place that somebody was landed on and made a hatch and put it in the ground.
Stuff wasn't dusty really either.
No, it's in 2006. The book said 2006, sorry.
Yeah, they said, but last entry.
But I wonder if the food, like Miller Lite, like, wouldn't that wouldn't the Miller Lite, like, these all things have all these things have expiration dates. Peanut butter would have an
expiration. There was a line about it.
They did say, like,
our suggestions.
You think any of these are good? And he was like, well, you know, expiration dates are just suggestions. But I do agree. Beer sitting down there for that long, I can't imagine it.
Well, didn't taste good. But if you were on that island, as a sign of camaraderie, we're splitting the beer.
But also, why don't they sleep down there? Like, I don't understand why they didn't move everyone.
Like,
there.
I mean, 100%, that's where you hide from the fucking cougar.
Right. And it's a shelter. Like, you have a roof over your head.
Also, I'm like, the branding of the packaging of, like, all the stuff was not 2006 oriented. Like, I'm not like,
that's true.
I don't have memorized Fiji's label, like, or Miller Lite, but that show is modern. Like, they just didn't dwell on it enough. So therefore, Narktown.
Exactly.
I don't know. Stuff USA. Was real. Like, he found it. He found it. Everyone, like, cheer for Ram.
Yeah, I'm
like,
I'd be curious to rewatch that episode and see if Seth kind of, like, led him there.
I said that because that was one of the reasons I was like, it's Seth. I was like, he was letting Raph lead the way. But I was like, Seth probably led him straight there.
That was right after the fire ant scene. Mm. So, yes, he came into the woods when he heard the scream. 100% he could have led him there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I buy into that.
Is that where you got your first hint at Roth and Seth kissing?
Nah, right away. It was way earlier than that.
Take your pants off. And
yeah. Seth was always super flirty.
Yeah.
He was always like, Roth.
The way he talking about yourself, Seth, I was like, this boy wants to kiss him.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I kind of want to kiss Seth. Seth was so comforting as soon as they landed.
I know.
Just
truly.
Like a narc would be.
Yeah. He was calm.
Guessed everybody to be the narc, I think, besides like Bo. So
we didn't guess
sweet Bo.
It's not Scotty.
I don't think it's Kieran.
I don't think it's Kieran. Yeah, I think it's gonna be Josh, Seth, or emo boy.
Yeah, Skrillex. Henry. Skrillex. Skrillex is good. I'm getting Ezra Miller vibes. I said that to her from Henry.
You're gonna start.
If anyone's seen, we had to talk about Kevin. That's the vibes I'm getting. Ezra Miller, Henry vibes.
I'm getting Skrillex vibes.
Skrillex is good.
I love that.
I really like Henry.
You guys should date each other. Chemistry.
I really didn't have too much else. Did you guys?
No.
Not really.
We're going to cover the next two or three. We haven't decided. So
putting that out there for you guys.
But we will we're gonna cover a section, so it's either gonna be two or three.
Okay, here's what I want to know. Who is your favorite through three episodes from The Boys? Because we've all kind of said our favorite girl. It's we have three Seth. Episodes, small sample size.
Narc, and he's my
Seth
favorite.
Is your favorite?
Yeah, I like him the best.
Oh man. I wanted to say like Taylor, but like he pissed me off with the whole like revealing the gonorrhea thing. So he's in not in my good graces right now. So I'll go with I love Seth, but why'd he try to kill and drown his stepbrother? It's the only downside to this perfect man. Fuck it. I'll just go with Seth anyway. He can drown me.
I kind of like Henry. Henry might be my favorite.
Sure.
He looks like he watches anime. He was a Boy Scout, you know?
Yeah.
I think Seth came out of their interaction looking way worse than Henry, although what Henry said was way over the line, but
yeah.
Sometimes that's just brothers being brothers, but Henry's my favorite.
All right. I'm going to throw some oddballs out there. I'm going to say either Bo or Kieran. My reasoning, Kieran sucks, and I know that, but we also like have seen a side of him that's like not actually that hateful. He's just a fucking douche. Like he's just like a high school douche, but like, I don't think like deep down he's a terrible person. Like, I just think he is like a bro.
You see potential.
Yeah. And I think that like he could totally flip like his personality. Cause he almost like came off too aggressive. Almost. And then I think Bo is just like lovable.
Yeah, totally. Bo's a good choice. Kieran is crazy, but I see what you're saying for sure.
Taylor's my obvious one, but Bo, I have a soft spot for Bo. I just think he's just like, he's a big teddy bear.
He's so cute.
But he's not like, he seems almost like Scotty's sidekick, but when they're on the island, he's like telling him what's not cool. And like, you pull your head out of your ass. Like, it's not just us against the world right now. Like, so I respect that. And
I loved that boundary.
I hope he makes it. I don't know. I think there's some good potential there for him.
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely parallel to Martha.
That's why I have a soft spot.
And we haven't seen her. So like,
I soft spoken, like, kind of, sweet ones. Yeah.
Well, that was good. We'll do a bank he'll marry next time. Yeah. We'll make sure we save it for the end.
Get out of here, Shelby.
I'm a Shelby gal.
Are we good to wrap this thing up? Put a little bow on it.
Put a little.
Yeah. We just covered episodes 1 through 3. There are going to be 8 total. We're either going to do it 3-3-2 or 3-2-2-1 or some other combination of the remaining numbers. As always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us on BingetownTV.com and subscribe to our show on Spotify, YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Our Patreon is up and running, so if you want to support the pod, that's a great way to do so. And that can also be found on our website at BingetownTV.com. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
There you go.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.